I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in for what is the third week in our Worst of 2015 extravaganza. And let me tell you, I think this one's the money melon. It's Pixels, directed by Chris Columbus, by the way. You guys remember Chris Columbus?
Good one, Columbo.
No, Columbus. I didn't know this was him directing.
He's the...
What? Oh, I thought you were interrupting me to say that I was wrong. And I was like, no, he definitely directed this movie. No, but like in the opening credits, it's like Happy Madison. Like, what you expect?
Yeah.
This is an Adam Sandler movie. And that guy's like, terrific. Like, whatever that dude is.
Yeah, I guess
it's fucking hilarious if you're in on the joke. But then 1492 Pictures comes up. And I was like, oh, Chris Columbus. This is a double dose of douching.
Yeah, Home Alone's Chris Columbus, right?
Yeah.
Harry Potter 1 and 2 Chris Columbus.
Oh, he did the... The ones
that nobody likes. Yeah, he did the
The first one, and I was like, nope, never again.
Percy Jackson and the something something, he's at least one of those movies.
Gremlins, he wrote the script.
So the point is, he's done a bunch of terrible shit and some good shit.
It's some great stuff.
Yeah, but this falls into terrible territory.
Yeah. I actually, when I saw this, twice in about a month.
Yikes.
The first time, I just kind of assumed it was Dennis Dugan, so I didn't even look at the director credit.
Yeah.
I was just like, I literally watched the movie the entire way through, and I was like, oh, we should make an episode out of it. It's so terrible. And then I watched it again last night. I was like, oh, Chris Columbus?
So you couldn't spot his director trademarks?
No.
Okay.
Well, what's funny is the only thing I could think of is that if it were to be a Dennis Dugan movie, that budget's way less and there's way more Sandler guys rolling around.
Yes.
Like the one thing that you can kind of tell from the start of this movie is like, or when like the video game action stuff gets going, is like it's on a larger scale, like a Percy Jackson Monsters of New York kind of garbage thing.
I do think this is probably the biggest, I mean, like tentpole-y movie Sandler's ever tried to do, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, this opened right in the heart of the summer, and it turned out to be the fart of the summer.
Bravo.
Yeah, it didn't make much money. It was a bomb.
For those who don't know, this is the movie where aliens disguise themselves as classic arcade game characters.
That is,
yup.
Is it really explained at all? It's just like...
Nope.
They apparently saw the broadcasts of video games into space, question mark?
Yeah, well, we sent a space, like a time capsule of the year 1982 into space.
What a banner year it was for the United States.
It was, and for some reason, this alien race found it and thought it was a challenge and kind of...
And decided to put in video game stuff that didn't exist yet. Like, what was Mario and Paperboy are in the background at one point? Is that even... That doesn't go back to 82, does it?
I think Paperboy was an old-ass arcade game.
Well, maybe.
And Mario is in, whatchamacallit,
He's in Donkey Kong.
Right.
But that was
Mario Origins,
sir. Mario Begins. That'd be a great movie.
That's what I think the fucking Mario Brothers movie was, though. That's their origin story.
I want to go further. No, it's just him and Donkey Kong. He finds himself on some gorilla planet. He's got to, like...
Yeah.
You know, like he's
Donkey Kong Country or something. And he's like an intrepid explorer, you know, getting to all kinds of
stuff. Oh, that could be sort of like you get like a King Kong vibe out of it.
Definitely, yeah.
Making more sense.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, second act, he finds Yoshi, helps him rise up.
Yeah, we could get this made.
The thing about Yoshi in that first movie and in all, I want to watch Yoshi like, because what Yoshi likes to do is eat living things that have... like mines and like eat them alive like he eats
henchmen.
He does. He's like, oh yeah, you're a fucking turtle with a wife and a kid in my mouth. And the guy's like, no.
Oh, you're a sentient mushroom. Not anymore. Now you're lizard shit.
Oh, nice babies, bird. Oh, yum, 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 yum.
Yep.
Those are your children, huh?
That's what never made any sense about like in Super Mario World. when Yoshi was first like introduced, and he would like eat stuff, and then you'd hit like down and whatever, and an egg would pop out. I was like, no, that should be feces.
Oh, do you think maybe he shits in a shell?
Just like shitting eggs, right?
Yeah.
It's like you eat these things, and then he can immediately dump it out his ass, and it's an egg weapon.
Or maybe he's just like, oh, no, I'm pregnant again and again and again.
Maybe. Man, anything can impregnate this male lizard. Well, sure.
His ovaries are in his mouth, apparently.
From eating all the male turtles and male mushroom men.
Exactly.
That is... Wow. That, you know, Cronenberg should direct this.
Oh, man. David Cronenberg's Yoshi's Island.
Oh, yeah. Now we're talking.
Definitely. So Pixels, maybe?
Yeah, so Pixels. You know, here's a miracle. Maybe. Here's a miracle about Pixels. I was shocked to find out that this movie's under 2 hours long.
It should still... It's still too long. Or something. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. It's too long, but I'm just surprised that we are not dragging ass through the galaxy in this movie. You know what I mean? Like, it's an hour 45. It's a cool hour 45, which is too long.
And it's not begging for a franchise either. They do wrap it up pretty succinctly at the end.
Yeah.
Almost too succinctly. I mean, we'll get there. But so we start in 1982, again, like I said, the banner year for the United States. And it's little Adam Sandler, little Kevin James, and little Josh Gad at like a wizard-esque video game tournament.
Well, you're wrong, because that should be no, that's that you're right, that's the beginning of the movie. But there's 10 minutes of little Adam Sandler and little Kevin James going to the arcade.
Oh.
What are video games?
Oh, right.
Here, let's do this. And there's like a montage of him like being really good, and it's an Adam Sandler movie, so Kevin James' character has to go to little Adam Sandler like, wow, you're really great at this.
And Kevin James' character is only good at the claw machine? Oh, that's sad.
But yeah, you're right. Like, so let's start at... All you have to do is start at the arcade, at the championship, and I know exactly what's going on.
Because we as a society know what video games are, and we know that they existed before 2015.
Yes.
We've figured that shit out. But you're right. The only thing, though, was that got me so nostalgic for, like, classic games.
Sure.
It kind of made me want to watch Joysticks again.
Oh, yeah. Better movie.
The Joe Don Baker boob comedy set in an arcade.
Yeah. It kind of made me want to play all these old video games again.
Oh, big time.
But, you know, one thing about this opening scene of Josh Gad being, what is he in this scene?
8 years old.
8 years
to be,
old? Yeah. He was born in 1981, so he's playing older, which stands to reason since...
he can look the part.
He looks a little older, I guess.
Sure.
Right? And I think Sandler's trying to play a little younger, too. Like
he always does, doesn't he?
He's kind of like being a contemporary of Josh Gad, like a little bit, but not really. You know what I mean? Like
that's a failure.
Lainey Kazan's in this movie for 2 seconds.
Oh, right, as Josh Gad's grandmother?
Mm-hmm.
You remember Lainey Kazan? She was the mom in that... classic independent film, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, soon to be seen in the classic not independent film, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, : Who Asked for This?
Are they really? Wait, are they doing a sequel?
It's done.
Did they? Wait,
trailer's out.
Is it My Big Fat Greek Funeral? Oh, no, my dad died, and now I gotta have all these Greek people in my house. Ugh!
He ate too much pastizio. That's kind of like lasagna, if you don't know.
No, it's literally called My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, and in classic dumb comedy sequel fashion, I think they're going to Greece for a wedding.
Oh, okay.
Hold up. This franchise has been going on a while. Was there a TV show?
There was My Big Fat Greek Life. The whole series fits on one DVD.
It wasn't that fat. So it's the movie, the TV show, and now this. I'm not missing anything.
No, and I'll tell you this.
It may have been an Adult Swim show. I'm not sure. Those come and go
pretty quick. A cartoon?
Yeah.
Well, this thing is like... there's another wedding. It's a younger person. I don't know if it's supposed to be their child. I'm pretty sure they're going to Greece. Here's the thing. Full disclosure, I watched the entire trailer with no volume. I was like, yeah, I got it. This is fine.
You're totally fine.
Anyway, so Lainey Kazan, who is a funny comedic actress.
Yeah,
she's in this movie.
She has like
around.
Three lines of dialogue because women don't do much in this movie. Sorry, everybody.
They
get gazed upon.
So we have this video game tournament.
Dan Aykroyd. Hi.
Dan Aykroyd.
Welcome to the video game competition.
Dude, the host of this video game competition. And the thing I realized when I was watching it was like, oh, well, this whole movie won't be set in 1982. And this character would definitely be dead in 2015. So good. This is the only scene with Dan
Aykroyd. I was kind of hoping like for him being like an older guy later in the movie. There is a cameo later. Did anybody else notice it?
What? A cameo?
From Aykroyd?
From Dan Aykroyd's Crystal Skull Vodka.
Yes.
Yep.
Hey, Adam. I'll be in your movie. Just you gotta drink a little bit of my Crystal Skull Vodka.
You know what, Adam? I'm just gonna leave this on the craft services table. You want to put it in the film? That's fine. It's not gonna cost you anything. Just leave it right there. Just free billboard for me. You know, everyone's gonna see this Pixels movie, right? Everyone's gonna see it.
Could you do a live read in the middle of the movie from Martini's Liquor Warehouse? I got a good deal with Don Martini down there.
So in the world,
real nice guy.
In the world of the movie, Dan Aykroyd exists as an as who he is.
As an entrepreneur.
Selling vodka.
Yeah.
And he also happened to know a guy that looked exactly like him.
No, it's a guy who looks like 2015 Dan Aykroyd, but he looked like that in 1982.
Right, back when Dan Aykroyd was, you know, like a rail thin Elwood.
Yeah. Yes.
Coke thin, one might call it.
So they're playing this thing. It's at, you know, you work your way through the arcade.
Yeah.
Of course, the final round is Adam Sandler and a guy who's playing a young Peter Dinklage.
Sure.
Whatever. Who
and
cares?
He's like, you know, doing the like Peter Dinklage's character in this, and he's like, it's this weird thing where like everyone like is fawning over him, like he's super famous for some reason.
I know he's sort of like Mary Sue in this.
A bit of a video game Mary Sue, but that actually bites him in the ass by the end of the movie, Eric. We'll get there.
Well, which is there's good. A lesson Thank to be God learned. There's some character development.
So we don't even actually kind of didn't even need this scene. We cut forward to Adam Sandler and Kevin James in a bar, like most dudes do, just talking about hot chicks they like in the old movies.
It's
like
God.
The grossest conversation.
It's just like, you know, like Adam Sandler, old, like, Scarlett Johansson.
To be fair, Kevin James says Scarlett Johansson, to which Adam Sandler's character says, she's way too young. That's a little gross, buddy.
Does he?
Oh, he does say that. He does.
I got
because it's Kevin James just like licking his lips like a wolf in a cartoon, and Sandler's character is like, dude, that's disgusting.
But all right, I had them mixed up. I had my big boys mixed up.
But it's not even like, oh, did you see that new Scarlett Johansson movie? Man, does she look good? It's just two dudes sitting in a bar alone, listing ladies that they find attractive one after another.
Because this movie likes to believe, and I'm sure some listeners like to believe that this is what men do when they hang out. They just like, let's go through the list.
let's start from the top and work our way to the bottom.
You know what, fellas?
Coming in at number five.
Fellas, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. There are definitely dudes out there that do that.
But do they just like list people?
Yes,
like, literally
yes,
just listing them.
Yes, dude, because dudes are terrible.
Well, sure.
There's definitely dudes right now at a Buffalo Wild Wings just like, all right, Kevin, who you got for number six? Well, I got Mariel Hemingway. Mariel Hemingway, huh? Well, okay, Kevin always brings weird lists to Buffalo Wild Wing Lady List Thursday.
All right, Don, what about you? Margot Kidder. What the fuck happened this week, guys? What happened? Why are we talking only about people who are in Superman 4, The Quest for Peace? What the fuck?
This is a disgrace to the Young Tail List Club. Meets every Thursday at Buffalo Wild Wings.
I got Christopher Reeve.
Oh, great. Someone brought Dale. Shut up, Kevin. And so on.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. So I guess it does happen. I've never been privy to it, but
it's stupid to just introduce your characters this
way. And the twist here is, in the middle of the scene, we realize that Kevin James is the president of the United States.
What?
Wait, the United States of America?
And the United States of these United States.
Oh man! Just open a window, crinkle up your suspension of disbelief into a ball and throw it out that window.
Could you imagine like Barack Obama going to Buffalo Wild Wings being like, that's Scarlett Johansson. I'd pound her good.
No, like, I can't.
Yeah, man.
Dude, it is so impossible for me to accept him as the president of the United States.
I think it was on IMDb like that. Somebody was like, oh, which is a total lie, that Kevin James models his performance after Chris Christie. Which is fake.
Because he's just fat?
I know, well, exactly.
Because like, they're both fat?
Kevin James is just doing Kevin James in this movie, just like everyone else is just doing themselves.
He's not modeling anything. I will say that they acknowledge that this is a post-Barack Obama presidency in this movie, and it's like, he's a big fat guy. Chris Christie's a big fat pig. Sure. In my head, I was kind of like, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, he's supposed to be kind of like a Christie president. He's not modeling, quote, his performance, quote, off of anything. Because it's Kevin James with a Buffalo Wild Wings t-shirt on. I mean, he doesn't literally have that, but he might as well.
Was it Buffalo Wild Wings?
No, they're just at some sports bar.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's like he's playing the King of Queens becomes the president.
And right. There's like a little George Bush joke. That's a hot take of him like trying to read a children's book in front of a bunch of kids.
Oh, yeah. You know well, what
it's
that
like,
is?
It's kind of a Dan Quayle joke.
That's
right?
a 9/11
joke. It's a 9/11
joke,
well, yeah, dude. Yeah, that's him reading the book. And I was like, oh, man. Is someone going to come up alongside him and like whisper a tragedy in his ear? And then he's going to
sit
there?
A video game just collided with the World Trade Center. What? All right, I'll keep reading.
Sir Tapper is on top of the Trade Center.
He's slinging root beer all over downtown Manhattan.
But yeah, and like he mispronounces catastrophic, I think, for some reason. And like the kids are correcting him. And it's not. And the thing about this scene that bugs me is like it's not filmed like the George Bush video, which would be one camera in the back and that's all it is. Like we're like cutting to little girls and it's like know what a news clip is.
Oh right, because they're supposed to be watching it on TV.
We cut to like little girls who are like, actually it's this, and he's like, oh shut up you little kid. It's like it's better if it's just one camera in the back because then I'm like kind of believing what's going on,
which is disappointing because like Chris Columbus knows how to make a movie. Like, don't make those mistakes.
They just don't care.
Nope. You know? Oh, my God. Does nobody. Sandler, like, I think that I've never seen him care less than this movie.
Yeah, and it's crazy to say that because he doesn't care often. But this is zero regard for the audience. It's just like, yeah, they're a bunch of fat idiots anyway. Mm-hmm.
They hate you. And the other thing, too, is Adam Sandler playing a nerd, which is what he's doing in this movie.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense because Adam Sandler hates nerds. And Adam Sandler does not even try to be a nerd in this movie.
No.
One way or another. Like, at best case, he's kind of booger, but not really.
Booger the cool nerd, yeah.
Yeah, like because he's just like a weirdo, like drunk guy. But like he never is like, oh, man, comic books or, oh, man, like, you know.
Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's just like I liked video games growing up, but I also kind of like ladies, too. And like.
Yeah, you can't have the Sandler persona
fit into the nerd block. Adam Sandler goes on a call to Michelle Monaghan's house.
Now, he is like working for a version of the Best Buy Geek Squad type thing.
It's a little more humiliating because he's wearing these really unflattering orange shorts.
And an orange shirt.
You see some thighs on Sandler.
I think this is just what Sandler wears. It's not too dissimilar from the grown-ups apparel.
No, it's not. I think it's just like he had those orange shorts and they're like, all right, we have to make this like a UPS guy uniform. So like, we'll find you a matching shirt and put a name tag on it.
Don't worry, Adam. We'll fix it. Yeah, good. Just... So long as I don't have to change my pants.
Those are definitely just his shoes. Without question, those are his sneakers.
It's a little kid who's really precocious and annoying.
Sure,
he's like, oh,
you have
man.
To have those.
He's like, yeah, hook up all these video game systems for me. And he's like, wow, could you win the lottery or what? And he's like, well, actually, I did. My parents are getting divorced. And it's like, eesh.
But from right there, it's Sandler in like this character in his head, like, divorced, eh? Wait till this lady comes around the corner hoping I can spot a prize piece. Doo-dah, doo-dah, doo-dah.
Man, I could have used some doo-dah, doo-dahs in this movie. A little bit of hibbity-dibbity would have been nice.
Oh, man, a nice classic old-fashioned hibbity-dibbity would have done the trick.
I'm preying on ladies. Ooh.
But yeah, if he was doing that, he'd be like, oh, it's a centipede. You know what I mean? Like, I would be like, oh, I could buy this guy being a weird video game nerd.
Or Donkey Kong. It's on, big boy.
Yeah, something.
Anything. if that's him trying way back when, and now it's just, it's a sad. Michelle Monaghan comes down and he's like, oh, she's a sexy lady. Like, you know, he's just like,
that Michelle Monaghan is one hot piece of ace.
Man, now I just want to watch Billy Madison.
Totally. I watched like 6 months ago. It totally holds up.
Oh, really?
I've been meaning to rewatch Happy Gilmore, actually.
That's one I haven't seen in years.
Which I don't think is on Netflix.
That's too bad.
I saw most of it on cable recently, and I thought it held up.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those are, see, just to show you.
We like
him. We don't outright hate Adam Sandler. We just hate what became of him.
Yes. He mutated into pixels.
He sees her, and like a lot of this, the problem is like there's a lot of like sitcom jokes in this, like where like people would say stuff, and then people would have to stop and be like, "Wait, let's deal with that for a while." Because like she comes down, and he's like, "Oh wow, she's like, well, you're looking much better than I thought when I heard divorced mother, blah blah blah. I wish I brushed my teeth this morning." And she's like, "Wait, what?" And they like move on, but I'd be like, "Wait, what? Why are you telling me this right now?"
Yeah, why would you say that to a person? Anytime I forget to brush my teeth, I'm like, "Oh fuck,
yeah,
don't let anybody know. Don't directly speak at someone."
I've never forgotten.
I think I have maybe like three, like, tops five times in my life.
I could see you staying around the house.
Sure, yeah.
You know.
All right, so flash forward, whatever. Blah, 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 getting divorced. She goes in a closet with a bottle of wine and starts crying. He needs like an invoice signed as this Best Buy employee, this Geek Squad guy.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, you're crying in there? You know what, miss? I'm coming in now.
Nope,
and I'm
nope.
No, dude hooking up the stereo system. You can just stay outside and have the kid initial it.
Also, everyone's creeped out by the Geek Squad in their house enough because of all those stories of people putting those spy cams and stuff.
Right, in your turlet. That happened.
Really? A Geek Squad was the perpetrator?
Probably.
No, yeah, there was a guy that, like, at least one Geek Squad guy was like, ooh, sexy lady. He probably was like, ooh, divorced mom, hibbity dibbity, and like drilled some holes and put like little spy cams and watched her for
a while. Here's the thing. Yeah. You got Geek Squad coming over. Dial 9-1, and then when I say dial 1 again.
I totally agree. And like, yeah, she also leaves this dude with her kid for long stretches of time.
I mean, he's hooking up multiple video game systems, that's, a TV, a 7.1 surround sound.
What else is he hooking up?
He's chatting up this little kid, too. You know what I mean? Like, having a real conversation.
This working happens, him.
It happens in a lot of Adam Sandler movies where he befriends children.
Yeah.
Because they're at this, these characters are at like the same mental capacity.
Sure.
So like, I was like, oh, so here's the little boy who's going to be his friend for the movie. In one way or another. And of course, that is what happens.
But it's also like, it's like, oh, I just meet your kid. Oh, your mom is pretty. I guess I'm going to be your new dad.
Do, 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 da, da, do.
Oh, wow.
So he goes into the closet where he starts drinking. And like, they kind of have a moment-ish. Like, he's like, he says some story was like, oh, yeah, I was trying to get pregnant with my wife. And the doctor knocked her up. And it's like, wait, what happened? And it's like, forget it. You know what
stupid
I mean?
Educated doctor.
Exactly. And then, like, he moves in to kiss her. She goes, whoa, 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 what's going on? And he's like, well, you snobby bitch. The second she says, she, like, pushes away. A newly freshly divorced woman moves away from some repairman in her house. He goes instantly to snob, in zero to snob.
Which is like, I'm sorry, you know, you got to have your wits about you when you have anyone in your house.
Absolutely.
Especially, like, in the city, there's been tons of cases of, like, people being sexually assaulted or whatnot.
Yeah, it's the real world.
Right, I guess it's bad to hold this movie up to that standard, but the fact that this random dude who's hooking up a stereo is trying to bang you in your closet.
It's like, you know what, dude, I'm sorry this didn't work out like the setup scene to a porno.
Yeah.
Well, I'm the electronic setup guy, and you're the lonely lady. And we're obviously going to have sex. Do-do-do-babu-babu. Thankfully, this awkward scene is broken up by a call from the president, in where Kevin James just says, hey, man, I need you to get to the White House quick. Oh, my God, I don't believe for a second you're the president.
What was Kevin James? Well, I think, honestly, like, Kevin James is the ultimate I want to have a beer with this guy candidate, right? Like, what would his platform be? You know what I mean? Like, what would get him elected aside from being like, hey, man, I love football just as much as you do.
That's the thing.
Fart.
It's like the Gerald Ford effect. Like, yeah. I don't know what else there is. Oh, like, he's.
Do you think someone died and or got like resigned in office? Like, he's like an in betweener, right?
Okay. I guess that's a bad example, but it's that similar. Like, you know, I'm just a guy. Yeah. You know, like that's. I guess I'm thinking more of the Gerald Ford joke on The Simpsons where he's like, do you like football? Do you like nachos?
I was thinking more of a King Ralph situation. Maybe a whole line of Succession. You
right.
know,
the American royal family does.
Primal president, vice president, speaker, like a whole bunch of people.
All down the line until the Capitol Hill janitor.
there he is.
Huh? Or the Capitol Hill zookeeper or whatever.
The zookeeper, yeah.
You know, you totally. I mean, like, what are the circumstances? It's not a strong fucking platform on Iran, I'll tell you that much.
And he's talking about like how much people like, oh, his approval rating is down. Of course it is. You're getting like beers with your buddy in the middle of the day.
President Nacho Cheese.
You can't do that. Like, you're not hanging out with your buddies anymore while you're president, right?
No, and you also can't.
More Obama's buddies. Name me one Obama buddy.
Well, the Obama buddies. Wasn't he? He was friends with that nefarious liberal professor.
Oh yeah,
that they made an issue out of once.
Yes.
And then I mean he doesn't have time to hang out with that dude anymore.
Obama, like, he's a big, like, he's like a normal guy. Like, he likes sports, but he like watches sports alone by himself with one glass of scotch at the end of the day,
locked in a room. He gets his like one cigarette that he sneaks behind Michelle's.
He watches
back.
Like Bulls games, and it's like, oh, man.
He's also got a wife and kids.
Hell yeah, I love. He sleeps in a big bed with his wife.
He's not going out to Buffalo Wild Wings and Rankin Poontang.
You got to rank that tang, man.
So in Guam is the first attack, which I think is Galaga.
And yes.
This is the only black guy in the movie. So, like, you know, really, much like the Academy Awards, not a lot of representation. We see his two lines in the movie are literally, oh, mama, and I voted for Obama. I swear to God, those are the guy's two lines.
Oh, the guy that gets kidnapped by the aliens?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, I voted for Obama. What's that going to do to stop you from getting abducted by aliens?
Well, he says it to Kevin James later in the movie, but still.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, did he run against Obama?
I think he did, actually.
Does this take place in, like, an alternate 2012?
It possibly takes place as an alternate 2012, but, I mean, they like really,
Romney's not involved. You got
no, but I think they just do their best to say like it's fucking, it's post Obama's second term. As I feel what
I was like an alternate 2016.
Yes, this is set in a dystopian future
with Kevin James as the president.
Yeah, talk about moving to Canada,
oh,
President
yeah.
Nacho Cheese.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His vice president would be some ESPN broadcaster.
Which one?
Any of them. It doesn't matter because a person like this would never become the president. And not that
maybe Tony Kornheiser, that guy, you know, like he's kind of like the Joe Biden of ESPN.
God, he's so old.
He is.
Just because, like, not that it takes a lot to take you out of a movie like Pixels.
Sure.
But every time I remembered that Kevin James is playing the president, I was like, nope. I can't.
Because that's a whole nother movie. You know what I mean? Like, and Adam Sandler, like that.
That's Hail to the Chimp.
Kind of is. And like, Adam Sandler is doing a movie in the beginning of this called The President's Buddy. You know what I mean? Like, it's like an abandoned Adam Sandler movie that like gets interfered with this alien invasion. So in Guam, they get attacked by Galaga. Everyone gets. And the way it happens is like, people get pixelated and turned to shit. And then like, into like little Minecrafty like, blocks.
Yeah, they turn into like little energy blocks or something.
And then other people get abducted by like the blocks go up into a tractor beam.
And no, those blocks are pixels.
Sure.
I guess. Well, but like, what? Oh, God, I still can't get over the fact we never learn anything about these aliens.
Nope, no.
You never see anything beyond characters from video games.
Look, flash forward to the end of the movie. Kevin James stands on the fucking lawn of the White House and says that he personally brokered a deal with these aliens, that it was like this big peace treaty and whatever, and then you see this spaceship fly away. There's never once any depiction of these aliens that he's brokering this deal with.
I think he's just President Fat Liar. He didn't do that.
Shit, was this video game invasion an inside job?
I think it was.
Oh, no.
It's entirely possible.
Future case file.
So he's like, hey, Brenner, look at my video that I've got from Guam. OMG, doesn't this look like Galaga? Let's crack the case open. And there's this like bullshit thing with like Sandler and Michelle Monaghan are like, they get in this big kerfuffle and they're like driving to the White House at the same time because, spoiler alert, she's a lieutenant colonel in the military.
Sure.
Sure.
And there's all this obnoxious stuff about him like, look who's getting to see the president first, lady boss.
The only time he actually tries this movie is when he very sadly reprises his line from Happy Gilmore when they're going in and she gets put in the situation room with all the rest of the military and like they're like, oh, we'll see you in the Oval Office, Mr. Brenner. And he goes, somebody's more important.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, nice. Man, that aged like fucking sour wine, didn't it?
It really did.
Oh, man. But so he has this like meeting with the president in the Oval Office. And yeah, he's like, look at the screen, blah, 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 blah. And then they're like, Mr. President, you have a meeting in the Situation Room. And he's like, all right, you stay here, Adam Sandler, and keep watching this video. I have to go talk to, you know, the most powerful people in this country. Cut to Adam Sandler just waltzing into the Situation Room. And like, this is the ultimate slobs versus snobs. Because yep. Here is Best Buy Geek Squad guy versus like every head of military intelligence. And he's like, I'm about to school each and every one of you 5-star generals.
Yeah, led by Brian Cox, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
Fresh off the slap. Man, one day I'll do a podcast by myself about the slap, episode by episode, and it'll be 100 hours long. But it's Brian Cox, and like he's like playing the crusty dean of the generals, I guess.
The crusty dean of the American military?
I guess so.
Is it the Army Chief of Staff or whatever?
I think that's what he's supposed to be. Yeah.
That would be the dean, right?
He's like, oh, this isn't some bong party in college, buddy. And it's like, what are you talking about?
And then Adam Sandler's like, oh, hey, look at that grandpa over there. Hibbity-dibbity. Anyway, military personnel, let me lay this down for you. And you're just like, no, this dude's being detained. You can't just run into the situation
room. Well, the president's just like, no, you got to listen to what he has to say. And he's like, oh, hibbity-dibbity. This version of Galaga, you can't get anymore. It doesn't, you know, this version doesn't exist. And, like, you know, these people are like, oh, you could buy it on your phone or whatever. But turns out the aliens are using 1982 Galaga, which had this certain glitch.
Man, yeah, he knows, like, some detail that means it's, like, the arcade tower Galaga versus whatever the fuck. And they drum up the idea that it's linked back to that tape that they sent up into space of them playing video games.
Sure, and whatever, which is never, ever explained. So he, like, leaves, to add Eric's point, like, knows this incredible secret because they're like, oh, we're going to cover this up. We're going to say it was a weapons test gone wrong. And he's like, well, goodbye, White House. I'm going home now. They're like, no way. You're getting fucking Dustin Hoffman wag the dog at the end of this situation.
Oh, man. You just totally reminded me of the sad end of that movie.
But he, like, drives away in his van. And Josh Gad, like, approaches him and, like, falls out of his van and rolls around because he's fat, too.
No, Adam Sandler is driving down the road.
I'm sorry, but because he's fat, too.
Well, I mean, yeah.
And Josh Gad has been hiding in the back of the van. Uh-huh. And he sneaks up, like, right behind Sandler's head and he's like, oh, hey, Adam Sandler. And Sandler, like, freaks out. And, like, Josh Gad falls out of the van probably because of obesity, but like also, Steve mentioned. Steve needed to point out.
I also love that, like, and he's like, oh, I've been watching you all day. I've been in this van all day. I think when you bring a van to the White House, I don't care. You're the president's number one best buddy. They're like, hey, let's just open the back and get a quick look and see what's going on.
Every single time.
Absolutely.
Without question, nope. You're getting dusted. It's getting swept. Fucking metal detector, dogs, the whole thing.
Oh, no, it's Sam Brennan, the president's A number one pal. Just park it in front, Sam. You want a peanut butter sandwich, you fucking dick?
Trojan horse is the White House.
Exactly. Like, we don't know if this guy got turned or what.
Dude, he's the president's A number one cable guy.
So he, Josh Gad reveals that he knows a little bit more. He's like, hey, come to my super stereotypical basement apartment.
Oh,
because
yep.
I'm a big nerd, and that's where all basement nerds live. Lainey Kazan gets her second line, which is the same. It's the same joke from Men in Black 1 or 2, the David Cross bit. Remember that one?
Oh, I think they drag that character into
the second one.
At least
two.
Both of those first two movies.
Which is just like, I have friends in my apartment, and then you start yelling at your mother, which is funny because you live with your mother, which makes you a loser.
The alt joke of Ma wears the meatloaf yep. from Wedding Crashers
yep,
or
yep, yep,
you
yep.
know whatever else in the world. And so like he's got this command center. He's... So he was watching a rerun of some program, and the broadcast was interrupted by... So what they're doing is using other bits of 80s television nostalgia to, like, send messages to them in English.
Because it was part of that package. The tape they sent. They say, yeah. we're sending the best of...
Right.
Goes, oh, we're going to send the best of pop culture. We're going to send videos and video games and Saturday Night Live
sketches. Oh, because it's a...
And blues music.
it's a Guinness World Records thing.
Okay,
is what Dan Aykroyd like says at the beginning of that movie. You know what I just realized? You know what this movie is, by the way? It's just stealing the plot of Star Trek: The Motion Picture,
right? Because now that actually makes sense because Voyager did send out certain things.
It had
about
it
humanity,
had music and you
classical
know,
music yeah. and whatnot. Yeah, I mean, why not? Make a movie about that. I guess that
they did.
Be...
It was Star Trek: The Motion Picture,
right? But maybe you could make aliens coming to kill us movie about it, too.
Right? Yeah,
I think but there's almost
it
an
wouldn't be as sexy.
No, I think there's something interesting though, like about like 80s nostalgia coming to kill us. You know what I mean? Like that's
sure.
kind of a cool concept for a movie. Like,
yeah.
if it is video games, if it is like you know, like maybe Jason Voorhees gets involved or something. Like because like it's the idea of the. Nostalgia, you know, there's no good thing about looking backwards. You have to look forward, like that.
Right.
That could be the point of this movie.
There's like a little nugget of an idea here that is good.
Yeah,
that
sure.
they could make a new a fine film,
the finest.
They don't.
So it's this message from the aliens. I think it's Madonna or something saying we're gonna, you know,
yes,
it's
Reagan and Madonna, and they're doing like. Creepy ass using real footage and putting a computer mouth on it.
It's Russell yeah. Madness Town. Welcome back to Russell Madness.
Yeah,
it looks so bad.
It's really terrible. It happens multiple times because they're talking to him through this whole movie.
That's the only time you see the aliens. You see them as either 80s pop culture human
right.
beings or video game characters.
Right. Emperor Reagan, Madonna, Hall and Oates.
I mean,
oh, right. Hall and Oates. I forgot about that one.
If like Reagan's consciousness after he passed away just went to this alien
universe like
and just was like, I'm coming back to take the kit and caboodle.
Mommy and Daddy's home.
And he's brought the Voldarians with him.
It's like Transcendence.
Yes.
Yeah, which I didn't see, but I understand that's like, is consciousness going into the cloud?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that movie is a e-turd. It's an electronic turd because
oh,
it has the cloud.
Right, yeah.
Yodam.
In the future, we'll only do e-turds.
So, I think this podcast is actually
an
e-turd.
Oh, it's certainly an e-turd.
e-turd.mp3.
If you took... our catalog and launched it into space,
yeah.
aliens would definitely come and slaughter humanity.
Yeah. What would they come down as, though?
Just themselves.
Disembodied fat voices.
You'd be getting killed like the wind, like that M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Josh Gad gets roped in. They go back to the president's house, and we're kind of doing an independent.
The president's house,
the White House.
But it's funny because that's how they treat it. Because yeah. they just drive right. You can't just pop into the White House.
He has nothing to do. He wonders why his approval rating's in the dirt. Because he's not doing anything. He's just having beers with the boys talking about Tang again.
It'd be great if, like, Jeff Goldblum and, I want to say Alex Rieger, Judd Hirsch. are out, because I'm 100 years old, are out in front of the White House with, like, all the answers, and they bypass them, and it's like, David didn't get in. Okay.
We got
Adam
these
Sandler,
guys,
tell him.
Dude, I don't think David Tellum's in this new movie. I didn't see her.
Oh, no.
Goldblum and Hirsch are there.
Yeah, she's not coming back.
That's too bad, though. David could have told him something else.
Oh, my God.
So we realize what the thing is. They decode the message, and their thing is like, oh, we have these coordinates. The next challenge is coming. You have three lives, by the way. We took one. We took a trophy, which is the first guy.
Oh, right.
Right. Yeah. Counts as the first round, and then is the trophy.
Yeah, and your second life is coming up tonight at such and such coordinates, which happened to be India, which who cares?
It's the Taj Mahal. No.
That's kind of what the president says. It's like, I don't know.
The president's... The president, by the way.
I know. That's what I'm talking about. It's so impossible.
So, president...
The zookeeper. President zookeeper. President cheeseburger.
President KJ is like... Oh, my approval rating's in the dirt. I can't do anything because no one believes in me.
You know what you could do? Call India and be like, hey, dude, this coordinates, but there's
no... You don't even have to tell them what it is. Just be like, we've got word that an attack is imminent
in this area.
Taj Mahal or whatever.
Yeah, blame it on ISIS, dude. Just say ISIS is coming for the Taj Mahal.
Don't just sit on this information and be like, well, whatever.
Can I tell you what my favorite scene is, or my favorite moment in this particular scene is?
So, sure, please.
So it's President Hot Dog, President Chili Cheeseburger himself, Adam Sandler and Josh Gad, and they're all in the Oval Office, and they're like, what are we going to do? Flippity doobity. And Josh Gad is like, well, you know, it's this, that, the other thing, Mr. President. And Kevin James is just like, you know, Josh Gad, we've known each other for 30 years. I think you can call me Chewy, because his nickname is Chewy, because back in the 80s, he bought a Chewbacca mask and was wearing it around that video game tournament. Yep. So the president of the United States says, hey, deranged lunatic I haven't seen in 25 years. Enough with this Mr. President nonsense. I think you can call me Chewy. President Chewy. Yeah. President Chewy. It's so fucking aggravating.
It's also funny because Josh Gad is like, he's not only just a nerd, but he's also like a conspiracy theory nut.
Blaming on outer space, his biggest fan.
And like, that's his thing. It's like, oh, the Secret Service has a file on me. I don't think you get in the Oval Office, even if you are the president's pal.
No.
Because, like, you can totally Bokeem Woodbine somebody in the Oval Office. Be like, you know, shake your hand, and then you got a fucking taxi driver gun and blow his brains out.
You're right. This guy would be taken to a black site. You know, they can interrogate him there, and the information will trickle up.
President doesn't need to hang out with you alone in the Oval Office.
I don't care if you frequented the same arcade. You're still getting your fingernails ripped out one at a time.
No, Secret Service and CIA. Don't worry about it. We frequented the same arcade. Come on, you stupid movie.
So the president, due to the president's extreme hot dog negligence, the Taj Mahal is destroyed.
Sure.
And, you know, even Josh Gad gives him a little shit in the next scene. He's like, well, I guess there's only six wonders in the world now. Derp-a-derp. But, like, just call the Indian government and be like, dude, what the fuck? Never in the... like. England gets a little bit involved, but there should be a world coalition that goes on.
Oh, England gets involved? You mean when the United States invades it in just a few minutes in this movie? So they're like, okay.
I like that.
Yeah, I don't care who you are. That's funny.
Oh, yeah. I don't care who you are.
That
is funny.
We should be back to killing redcoats.
So they're like, all right, I guess we believe you. Michelle Monaghan has been working in this top secret lab to develop all this weaponry?
Question mark, question mark, question mark.
Like, they've got blasters and fucking pixel grenades. Like,
there's a robot in this movie for no reason.
Are you talking about the guy with, like, the weird robot head?
Yeah.
It's like a guy with a robot head coming out the back of his head.
That guy's played by somebody, by the way.
Is he real? Well, somebody's son.
I'm going to the internet ticker here, but it's like a known actor. But yeah, like, they have this whole workshop.
It's like a robot. It's like, wait. I mean, I guess it's the idea of like nobody knows what the government's up to, da-da-da-da-da. But
well,
like,
I guess so.
It's like she says like they figured out how to destroy the aliens by shooting like a light. Like a light particle or something?
Sure.
No, she had listened to Incubus's light grenades.
Oh.
And was... Isn't that their album, I think?
Is
that what it's called?
Why not?
A Crow Left Foot of Murder?
Well, Crow Left Foot of Murder was one of them. I'm going to look up light grenades.
Well, I'll tell you this. The robot, funny enough, because we were just talking about two of his movies off the air, is played by Oscar-nominated director Tom McCarthy.
Oh, really?
God. Spotlights and The Cobblers, Tom McCarthy.
Well, let's say this robot. For this cameo, it's The Cobblers.
And I also want to apologize to the audience for doubting my Incubus knowledge. Like Grenades is certainly an album of theirs.
There you go. There you go.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, they've developed. She just had Incubus on her Discman while she was working in this secret thing that I guess is under the White House because we don't see them go anywhere.
No,
that seems really dangerous to test experimental weaponry right under 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Oh, I saw the pixels. That movie was full of horse hockey. Yeah, right. You're going to tell me that experimental weaponry using advanced space age light technology is being experimented with right under Casa de Obama? I don't think so.
That better movie, by the way.
If Jesse Ventura was the president?
80s, yes. 80s nostalgia coming back to bite us. It's not video games. It's just 100 feet tall 80s wrestlers.
Oh!
You get Macho Man, you get Ventura, you get Hulkster, you get Sting, you get the Ultimate Warrior.
The works, man. You just get the works.
Everybody's just like fucking doing... Like, the Hulkster does a leg drop out of the White House and destroys it. Wouldn't that be something?
And then he belches and says, shouldn't have had that much pork.
The pork stink waves would wipe out the whole district.
Right. Yeah, it's like a nuclear bomb.
So they... All right, we just got to flash forward here. They train to use all these weapons.
Yes, well, they train this group of Navy SEALs because, like, obviously they're the best of the best. And, like, light grenades or light guns that they invent immediately can destroy these aliens.
Also, now, the aliens are like, it's fair for us to challenge you at this video game stuff.
Because you challenged us.
Hopefully you know how to shoot a light particle to destroy what this is.
Know what game we're going to choose. And also, like, the problem... So the first game that they pick is Galaga. The second one, I forget this. Is it Defender or is it...
It's that game... What was it called? Arkanoid?
Yes, yeah.
I think.
With the blocks and the...
It was
the
like
ball
the colored bricks and you bounce the ball off it. I think it was called Arkanoid.
Why not Space Invaders?
I bet you... You're only paying for so much licensing.
Yeah. They pay a lot for this movie.
Well, Space Invaders just didn't make the cut.
They got the Godfather-in-law and Donkey Kong. So, like,
for a second, I thought you were saying they got Godfather the video game,
like which exists.
Like the PlayStation. Yeah. Video game. Like suddenly, there's a really bad cut scene of someone doing a Marlon Brando impression,
and James Caan has to act with it.
Yeah. You get that weird CG Confro.
Oh man, what a stupid endeavor that game was.
YouTube the trailer to that game. YouTube the trailer to Sopranos Rise of Whatever. Man, that sucked.
Oh, I totally forgot that existed.
Everybody's in it. It's a CGI game, and like you play like a young enforcer and like big, fat, fake James Gandolfini. It's actually James Gandolfini, but like CGI pixels James Gandolfini.
Yikes.
Is like in your face, like, you better know what this family wants to do, video game character.
I think this is, we just stumbled on a great idea here. Italian pixels. It's all just Italian video games. Like, or, you know, Italian video men and video games. Yeah.
The funny thing is, to be fair...
You can still get Mario in there. That's
yes!
True.
Yes, that's true.
Oh, my God.
King of all the Italian video games.
We just found our three stages.
To be fair, like, another version of that you could argue is also just as stupid, but I think it's actually a good game, is that Ghostbusters game.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, you're a new Ghostbuster recruit, and we're all here still busting ghosts. Okay, let's go busting. You're like, all right.
Why can't I just be Peter? Okay, whatever.
Yeah, okay. Because
I'm Peter.
They're all there. They're all in that game, I think.
Whatever. So we
Centipede.
Centipede. We go to England. We invade England.
It's amazing. They're just like, we're setting up shop.
And a rampant strain of anti-intellectualism. Fiona Shaw is the prime minister and is like, oh, hey, Kevin James, I'm here to work with you. And he's like, I don't know what this bitch is talking about. And it's like, dude, shut up. You're the fucking president of the goddamn United States. Show that woman respect.
They make her use a bunch of like English slang that may or may not even be real. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's like a second language, you know? Sure. And the whole gag is like, she said all that because she's like excitable and whatever. And he's like, yeah. What's this cuckoo bird talking about? This ain't how the babes at Buffalo Wild Wings talk.
But there is so much anti-intellectualism. Like, there's a press conference.
Yes.
And, like, a reporter is trying to trip up President Hot Dog.
Which they would be doing all of the time.
By using big words.
Yes. Be like, oh, and hey. Played by Robert Smigel.
Yep. Triumph the Insult Comic Dog's arm, Robert Smigel.
And yeah, and like Dan Patrick is like, shut up, you're just being Dan Patrick, by the way. Speaking of sports fucking Jeopardy, which nobody was.
Dude, you can walk into any room in this country right now and go, was someone talking about sports Jeopardy? The answer 100 times out of 100 will be no. 100% no, I wasn't talking about sports Jeopardy. Get out of my house.
But like the president just having a press conference and like bad mouthing vocabulary.
Yeah, that's the
dangerous precedent.
It is. So they invade England, and Sean Bean is there, and like he's also like Brian Cox is known to be a bully, right? Because he's like, oh, these video game guys don't know what they're talking about, even right. though they actually clearly do. And Sean Bean is of that ilk and is like being gruff.
He hates these little nerd weasels.
So It turns out to be, you don't know what video game it's going to be until the last second. It turns out it's Centipede. Oh, cool. And Adam Sandler's like, oh, I got all this centipede knowledge. Hoobity doobity. And they're like, okay, we know how to fire guns, so clearly we're better at this. But they can't do it.
For some reason.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, why? How does playing an arcade game 30-something years ago translate into firing a gun into the sky?
It doesn't. It does not.
Like all the things they do in this movie. And Sandler says at the orientation of this thing, like, we spent years attuning our hand-eye coordination and memorizing patterns and whatever, like, which is fine. And that's totally what those games were. It's sure. all memorizing patterns, reflexes, hand-eye coordination. Sure. Yes, that's accurate. That does not translate into firing a fucking light cannon
into the sky. Yeah, and like, because the angle would be totally different because you're seeing it from something else. You know what I mean? Like,
it's a whole different ball game.
It's as if, let's just even for argument's sake, you, me, and Andrew are the best at Madden 96, right?
Sure.
And then aliens come to Earth as the Monstars, and they're like, we challenge you to a football game. Like, you know who'd be good at that? Any football player.
Anyone else.
Exactly. Like, even if we're good at the fucking football video game, it's different because you're taking it to a real space.
Yes, oh, exactly.
By the way, we kind of glossed over. We didn't get to it. They spring Peter Dinklage from prison.
Oh, right.
No, that's coming up. That's actually that's
really.
Happening.
I thought is Centipede not the end?
Yeah, no. Pac-Man happens after.
Oh
this.
My goodness, Pac-Man.
So Centipede happens, and like all these like military guys who are good at firing guns, and like again, Adam Sandler and Josh Gad should be in the command center, being like, oh, do this, do that, and yes. helping a little bit.
Johnson, look out at your 11 o'clock or something.
Yeah, remember that trick I told you? Move to your left.
Yeah.
But, like, they all fail, and then, like, Sandler picks up the gun and is, of course, get ready for this gang, amazing at it. And him and Josh Gad, like, are just destroying everything because they're amazing.
Sandler is amazing at this. And you know what else he's good at? Kissing ladies.
Oh, yeah, he does say when she refuses to kiss him, he's like, well, that's your fault, lady, because you just get refused kissing a nerd. And everybody knows nerds kiss the best. And I'm like, you fucking hate nerds, Adam Sandler.
What is like Revenge of the Nerds lines, right?
You're 40 years old. Move on.
Yes.
Is that a line from Revenge of the Nerds? Nerds kiss
best?
I think
there's an implied like nerds fuck better.
Oh, yeah, well, that's
and then,
certainly true.
And then it's proved it's proved right from the famous rape scene of the film.
That's what you want to do after you rape a woman is mock her in her face. That's great.
That laugh.
Hey, great movie to bring your kids to.
That laugh was almost chewy.
Well, that's how he laughs in the movie.
No, I know, but the laugh also reminded me of the mighty Chewbacca.
Oh, I see.
Which is also the namesake of our president.
Oh, right, President Chewie.
So, Centipede's happening, and then, like, one Centipede goes off and starts, like, ripping up a hotel or something. And I'm like, where does this come into the challenge that the aliens are talking about?
Yeah, I guess they're just like letting loose.
And Sandler like does this really cool shoot thing, and then this little other little white kid is like, wow, that's awesome. And he's like, I know, kid, I'm Adam Sandler, I'll be here all week.
It's also a dumb thing because like Sandler chastises this kid earlier in the movie for liking like Call of Duty type games.
Yeah, you know?
And so it's like, yeah, kid, turns out our video games were pretty sweet too. Double do da da.
Then they go to a bar, even though the world is still under attack.
Oh, farts this scene.
And then this is where we get our famous Crystal Skull vodka. Hey, Adam, I'm just going to leave this right here in the shot.
So I was looking I was looking at the script here, and there's a scene later in the movie where President Cheeseburger takes a bunch of army men to a bar, and just thinking, I know you're probably going to want to be slamming a bunch of English pints of beer, but maybe some Crystal Skull could work its way in.
And I'm going to use these Martini's beer coasters just because that guy really hooked me up with a sweet distribution deal. Don Martini, really nice guy down on the freeway.
Dude, one of the funniest things ever was that time Cabin found out that Dan Aykroyd was doing like an appearance at a liquor warehouse in New Jersey, but it had been like the week prior or something like that. We were all heartbroken that we missed it.
We were going to go and talk to Dan Aykroyd about vodka.
I don't know, maybe
some free samples, right, Dan?
No free samples. Running a business here, boys. No samples.
I mean, I am filling vodka with Crystal Skulls, so it's pretty expensive on the overhead, gentlemen.
So they're all drinking, and like Michelle Monaghan's like, hey, you're gross looking, but I kind of like you now, right? Obviously. And then they decide, oh, we should break out of prison. Peter Dinklage's character, who is actually the one actor in this movie who's trying and has the least amount of screen time.
He's doing something. Yeah, he's doing anything.
He's doing Billy Mitchell from the King of Kong documentary. He's got the hair. He's kind of doing a voice. Like it's a bit broad, but like he knows he can level it up and down. You know what I mean? Like,
and speaking of King of Kong, man, what a better movie!
Oh man, isn't it?
It is
leaps
a good,
and bounds.
Yeah.
You want to watch a guy cry about a video game? Watch King of Kong. It's my favorite part. That dude keeps crying. Steve Wiebe is crying that entire movie.
Steve Wiebe's in this movie.
Is he really?
He's playing like a press guy or something.
Oh, I missed
it. Sort of
him.
Like uncredited press guy. You probably didn't recognize him. He's not crying.
You know, honestly, this movie could use some nerds weeping. Like, what nerds love to cry.
Sure. I'm crying right now.
And you know who would never admit he's ever cried? Adam Sandler.
Oh, not at all.
Nope.
I'm too cool for that.
I only cry when I play a 9/11 victim. Heebity boobity.
Rain over me. God, just remember that Eddie Vedder song when that movie came out.
Rain over me. Now, was that an uproarious comedy?
No, his family was wiped out in 9/11, and he had mental problems because of it.
I'm laughing.
Why did Don Cheadle get part of the crew? I guess you probably hated Adam Sandler, huh?
As I'm sure some people do.
So they go to prison. The president and all of the president's pals go to prison.
That was a good movie.
It's such a different Robert Redford movie, but it's still a good movie.
They go and like, you know, he's a dick. What you would call it?
Dinklage.
Dinklage is, and his character is the Fire Blaster. Like that's his like self-imposed nickname, and like. Everyone hates his guts, but he's really good at like Donkey Kong and other stuff. So like,
hey, he beat Adam Sandler in the Pac-Man championship at the beginning of the movie.
And they're like, oh well, you
or Donkey Kong.
They're like, oh well, clearly anyone who's good at video games is really good at fighting aliens. Come on out,
sure.
And he makes some like bullshit demands. He wants like an island. He wants a threesome with Martha Stewart and Serena Williams. Which keep that in the back of your pocket.
Yep. He wants to never pay taxes again.
He wants an island.
Yeah. Get out of prison, obviously.
By the way, never pay taxes again. That's a joke from Armageddon. In case anyone was wondering.
Oh, that's right. That is their demands. Like the oil rig crew.
Yeah,
right?
They're like, oh, we want to pay taxes. Like, okay. ever again. And that's like kind of a line, right? That's
yeah.
Like
I think that line made the Armageddon trailer.
I certainly think it did.
Why do we have to spring this guy from prison if it's established anyone who's good at video games can do this? Why don't we get other people? Why does it have to be this the guys that they grew up with?
Yeah. You know who are good at video games, guys? Japanese people. Like, there's a lot of...
Whoa, racist.
No, like anyone else, like literally, goodness. There are like there are video game competitions in Japan. There are video game competitions
everywhere in the world.
Yes, clearly, like the four best people wouldn't be all American white guys, is what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah.
Well, we want to keep President Hot Dog feeling all right.
Give something for his pals to do. When those presidential pals.
Is it too late to change it to President Cheesesteak?
No, it should change throughout the entire episode. Okay, that's now okay. He's President Cheesesteak.
Depends on what he had for lunch. But we do get a Japanese guy, the creator of Pac-Man, later on.
So they spring him from prison, and they're like, oh, the next coordinates are in New York. And we cut to Nick Swardson, who plays a young... They literally call him a rookie police officer, even though he's 39 years old. And they're like, oh, what did you see, rookie? And he like describes Pac-Man eating up the thing. Which, by the way, so in Galaga and in the last attacks, they were, the aliens were always the bad guys, right? Like
right.
In Galaga, in Arkanoid, in Centipede, all the bad guys. Now they're the good guy. Now they're Pac-Man.
Right.
Why would they be Pac-Man all of a sudden?
Well, because the aliens don't know which is what. They're just being aliens.
Well,
movie also doesn't know which is what. That's damn true.
And like Michelle Monaghan pulls right out of her ass. She's like, oh, we were expecting Pac-Man, and we were expecting that you guys would be the ghosts. So we equipped these Mini Coopers.
Oh, Lord.
This
oh.
fucking Mini Cooper commercial in the middle of this thing.
Oh, man. It's like, yeah, so we got to be the ghosts. How are we going to be the ghosts? Here's these cars we souped up. Also. You somehow were able to figure out at the last second that Pac-Man's coming. You scrounged up this dude that invented Pac-Man?
Yep.
No. And you have the dude who created Mario and who created Donkey Kong. Why aren't all those dudes on
hand?
Yes,
of course they would be.
Yeah. Fucking fuck you, movie guy.
And why isn't fucking Dale Earnhardt Jr. and a bunch of fucking race car drivers in these Mini Coopers?
Get Danica Patrick. Get that guy with the M&M's car that everybody hates.
But no, instead they use their time.
Tony Stewart, I think.
They use their time and resources to sew one-up badges on their their jackets.
Dude, they have... out and out uniforms now.
Yeah, now they have the name of their unit, like their military unit, on there. Arcaders.
They're the Arcaders. Oh man, isn't it so much like Ghostbusters?
Remember that disbelief you crumbled up and threw out the window? That thing just flew away. It's like so far away, and it gets so much worse from here on out. Somehow,
yeah, my hair went white watching this.
And so they all get into Mini Coopers, including the guy who created Pac-Man. And there's this funny-ish scene where he goes, it's like, I will reason with Pac-Man. I created him. He's my son.
Right.
And they play it for a gag, and Pac-Man bites his arm off. And I think this is a trailer line. He's like, somebody kill that bitch or something like that.
Right. And you know what? That would have been so great if I could have just seen that clean. But it was just all over every friggin' trailer.
And it's the only humorous thing that happens in the film. You've got to use it.
You're just like, all right, here's that Pac-Man thing I saw 9 months ago in the preview.
And so now we're the ghosts, and we're driving around trying to catch Pac-Man. And we also realize that there are power pellets that when Pac-Man gets them for 10 seconds... you can be eaten by Pac-Man for some reason.
Somehow the color of these cars change royal blue like the ghosts in the game.
How?
I'll tell you how and how. Whatever. Hey, whatever. Whatever the fuck ever, man. We're making pixels. Just whatever. Whatever you, whatever her, whatever that dog, whatever. It's pixels. And nobody cared for half a second about this movie.
Including Chris Columbus. And
No care.
Whatchamacallit?
Killing me.
Dinklage keeps doing all these moves, and you don't see them, actually. The camera always cuts away, and you go to Michelle Monaghan. She's like, how did you get there so fast? And he's like, don't worry about it, lady. And like, he keeps getting Pac-Man. He gets him twice.
You got to run the car into Pac-Man is the idea.
Yes,
by
when
the way.
When you're not blue. And we find out that Peter Dinklage is a cheater.
And yes. A what?
And the only way he beat...
he's a what?
The only way he beat Adam Sandler years and years ago, because Adam Sandler is the best, was by cheating, by having a cheat code written on his glasses.
You know, that makes sense, because there's no way Adam Sandler could be beaten at anything.
And the worst part is, somehow, a cheat code, which would only apply to Pac-Man only, because that's the character you can manipulate in that game.
Yes.
Would not only transfer to ghosts if the situation was reversed, but also transfer to a Mini Cooper that is actually a gas and electric fucking vehicle.
Wait, what the fuck is the A and B button?
Thank you.
It's just him jerking off to a certain pattern, and
and it works. Well, that's like crazy.
It literally does. Like, she keeps being like, "How did you do that so fast? What? How are you getting there so quickly?"
Yeah, there's a split second where you see him kind of like blip. Like, out of existence. Like, he blips and then, like, shows up somewhere.
But how?
How would he know to do this? How would he do it? Why would it work?
How does the physics work in the real world? / did the aliens program in cheat codes? But, also, did the Pac-Man arcade game have cheat codes?
It definitely must not have.
I don't know.
There's no game genies back then. I mean,
no, but it's all the like
you do a combo of certain things.
ABA, turn the joystick,
you get a glitch kind of a thing. Yeah,
maybe
this is a case for Snopes.
But so this happens. Adam Sandler wins at the end, actually, because like even though he's cheating, Dinklage drives into a ditch. Adam Sandler does this thing where like this really heroic driving backwards thing, a move which should kill him.
It's kind of cool, though.
It is kind of cool.
He's driving in reverse up a parking garage.
Yeah, which he couldn't, which a fucking fat Geek Squad guy could not do.
No, I mean, right. Dale Jr. would have trouble with this. You know, James Bond would have trouble with this.
Exactly.
But he does it, and he's counting down, because they say at the beginning, like, you turn blue for 10 seconds and Pac-Man can get you. And so he's chasing him up and everything, and he drives out the top window of this garage. And he hits one, and Pac-Man eats him, and he turns back into the car, and Pac-Man commits, Pac-Man seppuku.
But in the game, if Pac-Man's about to eat a ghost,
yeah,
they give it to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think Adam Sandler's character is dead from here on out.
Or he's a pixel trophy.
The rest is in his mind.
Oh, sweet fan theory, bro. You better get that to Reddit. You better overnight that to Reddit right now.
I think I've had that fan theory for every episode the past 5-6 episodes.
So they win. This is when they get a very important new character, Q-Bert.
Oh, man.
Because apparently
he's the trophy.
When you win, you get a trophy. And
slaves,
they
yeah.
When they won,
you get nice slaves.
When they won Centipede, they got the Duck Hunt dog, which is pretty funny. But you never see the Duck Hunt dog again. Like, he shows up at this old woman's apartment, and he's holding the dead duck, and he's like, licks the old lady's face. And I was like, that's adorable. Yeah. I always loved the Duck Hunt dog.
Everybody loves the Duck Hunt dog.
So then you get Q-Bert, and... Listen, I'm going to be completely honest. Q-Bert made me laugh a couple of times in this movie. Q-Bert speaks fluent English. Weird.
He's just doing like a little kid. Like he's a minion, essentially.
He's a minion.
He's a man child. He's got like, he's a guy that's mentally handicapped. But there's nothing wrong with that, but that's how he talks.
They use this character for like abusive physical comedy, and it's a lot of like, why was I programmed to feel pain? Like kind of jokes, which... I was getting some legitimate laughs. I will just admit it. I'm admitting to laughing during Pixels.
So the president is two challenges up. The president...
Cheesesteak.
President number four, which is a quarter pounder with cheese, a double quarter pounder with cheese, is...
Yeah, four's that double. Don't you forget it.
Is up two challenges to one on the aliens. And he's like, hey, we're in the middle of being invaded. The whole world hangs in the balance. Let's throw a fucking ball. Let's not wait until we win.
No.
The night before, whatever, they have this ball, and like Adam Sandler asks her out.
This is a thing in the Arcader's honor, by the way.
Of course.
It's a black tie White House affair.
The world is still in peril.
It's still
why are we celebrating?
Yes.
It's like if they just stopped at like the middle of the second act of Independence Day, and Bill Pullman's like,
we're having a party right now.
Everybody get to the White House. We're going to have a party. We're going to celebrate sort of figuring out a way to beat these aliens.
Yeah, well, we haven't done it yet, but we're hanging out.
Man, talk about putting the cart before the horse, man.
It's just crazy. I mean, like, even after mission accomplished in Iraq, we didn't throw a fucking party. You know what I mean? We knew well enough to wait
a
while.
We might have. I don't think I got the invite, but...
But they're having this big ball, and... Dinklage shows up with Peter, with Serena Williams.
Right.
And she's like, oh, you know, the government told me to do this. It's a fun, they have fun little bits together.
Like, it's fine. It's one of those, like, I'm an excellent tennis player and couldn't act my way out of a paper bag kind of cameos. But, you know, that's fine. She's not claiming to be an actor.
And Dinklage is just playing a scumbag and he's like, you know, being gross.
Hey, baby, kind of stuff.
And
what was he in prison for anyway?
Oh, he was like, he had hacked something and like computer crimes.
Man, nerds, huh? they loved hacktivism.
This was something like he was like basically stealing like credit card numbers
or
something.
They love stealing credit card numbers to buy toys with.
Dust off your copy of Old School because Josh Gad's just going to do that for a little while.
He just gets up on stage and is dancing with this band and singing along. What's the song he's singing? Do you remember? It's something. He just gets up there and he's singing. And I'm sitting there like, why is this character getting on stage during a presidential affair and singing?
These are the most extroverted nerds I've ever seen.
Yes, it's almost as if they're not nerds at all.
Yeah. Yeah. These are jocks in nerds' clothing? is that the idiom?
I think that's what happens.
In the middle of the party, Michelle Monaghan's little boy gets kidnapped by the aliens because a message comes through. Saying, by the way, you broke the rules. You cheated, therefore you forfeit.
Right,
therefore
this is Hall and Oates.
Yeah, yes, Hall and Oates doing this. Therefore, we come down tomorrow and we'll destroy the world. And everyone's like, oh no, we cheated. Now we're in trouble while they're at this ball, right?
Yep.
They're all like, oh man, we must have thrown this ball a little too early.
Yeah, good thing I'm in my formal wear for my coffin.
My biggest question about this scene, honestly, it's a really quick question that doesn't have an answer, but where did Kubert get that formal wear?
He does get something. He gets a little.
Kubert's wearing a little Kubert tuxedo.
He's got like pants on and like loafers.
Can I just say, I think Kubert might be my favorite video game of all time.
I love Kubert.
Of those like old school games, really? I love Kubert, man. Listen, you get like a tall glass of water. Put on, like, you know, apropos, like a Bowie record.
Mm-hmm.
Play some Kubert. Oh, you're in for a good Friday night.
You can go to a barcade and drink some beer and play some Kubert.
God, what, do you work for them?
I like that place. They're right down the street.
Guys, question about Kubert.
I'm currently unemployed, so make me an offer, barcade. Just make me an offer.
So you both love Kubert.
Now, yeah, he's
question,
great.
Would you fuck him?
No.
The answer is I would not have sex with Kubert, no.
You wouldn't fuck him?
No, not even if he turned into a bodacious babe. I would be like, oh, that's Kubert.
People might be fucking Kubert.
So the last act of this movie, by the way, they finally ask Kubert any questions. They're like, oh, hey, alien.
Yeah,
torture him. Rip pixel by pixel out until he spills the beans.
Exactly. Why isn't this fucking alien in Abu Ghraib?
Thank you for mispronouncing Abu Ghraib and saying Abu Ghraib.
Yes. That's really awesome. That's like a title of like a patriotic metal song, probably.
That is great.
Or like Guantanamo, any of those places.
Or like an Iraqi zombie film that we're now making.
Get Jessica Chastain a fucking metal album and a guy with some fucking pliers and let's figure it out. Let's figure out what Kubert's up to.
Yeah. Oh, man, you would just pick that little adorable alien apart and you would get all the information. And it's weird too, because like he is kind of a turncoat. You know, you gotta go, you know, get right under it and you can somehow like get up inside the spaceship. It becomes very Independence Day.
Spaceship
comes down over wherever and it opens up in the middle and all these video game characters start coming out. I'm surprised you saw Mario in there. I didn't notice him.
Mario is definitely in the background at one point. And by the way, I think I just looked up on the internet ticker that Duck Hunt came out after 1982.
Oh, I'm sure. Because it was a Nintendo.
84.
I believe it's a console game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So yeah, there's a bunch of, you know, maybe this movie's not that realistic.
Oh, interesting. I'm
shocked that this movie would have anachronisms in it.
There's Tetris happening. There's also Smurfs show up for no reason.
There was a Smurf video game that was for like Atari something or other.
Not 1982 though, but yeah.
Oh, was it later?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, all right.
But
Michelle Monaghan shoots it in the face, and it's kind of funny.
There's also a fake video game with ninjas and a bodacious lady called Lady Lisa, who's Josh. That's like Josh Gad's character only motivation. Aside from, by the way, in the middle of the movie, they make like a lot of gay jokes at his expense. Like,
sure.
He's like kind of hitting on guys, and he's like, "Oh, you beautiful Marine," and like, he's like hitting dudes on the ass,
smacking asses left and right.
Which is my least favorite trope, which is like where homosexual just means weird. Like, he's not gay. Like, he just likes dudes because that's what weird people do.
Yes.
But he actually likes ladies. You know what I mean? Like, gay is actually a thing. Like, if he's hitting on guys, probably he's gay. He's not like in love with Lady Lisa later in the movie.
He makes something like, so this Lady Lisa comes to life, and this is what doesn't make any sense about Lady Lisa.
Lady Lisa's like a big like a Red Sonja kind of character.
Yes. And so it's like, here's this, you know, bodacious pixelized babe, and she's like got a sword and a shield and whatever. She kind of looks like Link. She's armed like Link.
Yeah, sure.
And unlike every other video game that we see come through, the Centipede, Mario, whoever else.
Qbert, who's got like fucking a house in Texas at this point.
Yeah. Qbert's at a black site somewhere getting picked to pieces.
Oh, no.
Lady Lisa comes out and Josh Gad's like, oh, that pixelized monster over there is my future bride. That's cool. And then for no explanation, no reason, Lady Lisa depixelizes and just turns into a person.
Sure,
and it's just some actress. And it's like,
because she's sexy and you get some more TNA to look at, my brothers.
Oh, man. Thank you, Adam Sandler and Chris Columbus.
Oh, man. Ooh, we got to go revise our list.
Oh, man. Get to Wild Wings. We got to edit that list.
Get that list going. No, I'm thinking that video game's going up there. And then I'd fuck Qbert. Also, honestly, though.
Dog from Duck Hunt?
No, but Link, maybe.
Oh, yeah, Link is always, Link is, yeah, Link's all right.
Link, he's androgynous enough.
Yeah, sure.
By the way, there was a Smurf video game in 1982.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Yeah.
So we're getting pulled
like,
up into the spaceship.
Josh Gad, like, what you call it? Josh Gad, like, makes out with her or something, and then, she instantly turns on their side for some reason.
When they make out is when, like, she should kill him.
That's what happens though. You're
what?
Misremembering two parts of the movie.
No.
When she turns into a human, he's like, hamina, 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 and goes up to her and is like, oh yeah, here it comes. And then she attacks him.
But no, she eventually does start working with them.
Right, because if you just keep at it with a lady. If you just keep going hard at it.
I don't care if she's an alien bred for your destruction. If you really don't want to be friend zoned and really like get really aggressive and in her face, she'll just fall in love with you right over.
See, I just remembered she like attacks him and he's like, maybe not. And then the end of the movie.
Yeah,
when she's there again.
No, but
he
tricks her.
Yeah, like, and then
you just gotta trick a lady, all right?
And then Dinklage shows up and just shoots a bunch of people. But we go up to inside the video game
where we're pulled up, by the way, by Max Headroom.
Yeah, reprised by what you call
Matt Frewer.
Matt Frewer. There.
Why is this the only like TV thing? Was that a video game? Was Max Headroom like a computer game or anything?
No, it was just a TV.
The idea he was on that tape.
There was Fantasy Island with Ricardo Montalban.
Yes.
Earlier.
In the alien broadcast.
Yeah, yes. This counts as an alien broadcast because Max Headroom's just talking to them.
Oh, but it's like in the sky kind of alien
and
TV.
Just like, oh, if you can come up to this thing and best us, I guess we'll stop. They go up.
Okay. Even though the aliens definitely have the upper hand and would take over the world right
and
now.
And Earth just already lost. Why are they just like, okay, sure, we'll play again.
But like, also, and they're taking over Washington incredibly slowly, by the way. It's not like Independence Day where we're blowing up the White House. It's like, Mario's going to like jump on the White House for an hour and a half until it crushes. Like, you know what I mean? Like Tetris.
The only things that are really destroyed are Guam and India.
Yep.
You know, like whatever. Like, who cares? It's not America.
File that
it's
under who cares.
So, it's not really America. I don't care what you say, Guam.
The last level is Donkey Kong, and Adam Sandler's like, oh, no,
I was never so good at Donkey Kong.
I do-do-do-dabble-do, donkey.
And it's...
Donkey?
By the way, the President of the United States, he's like, joins up with them. President Hot Dog's like, yeah, they wanted to put me in a bunker or something. And I said, no way, I gotta help my buddies. No Secret Service present at all.
Nope.
How did he give them the slip?
Dude, President Fajita gets abducted by aliens. The President of the United States is abducted by aliens on his own free will.
And it's not, and you know what? When the Secret Service puts you in a bunker, it's not because like, oh my God, you're such a good president. We love you so much. It's like literally... You're a bargaining chip we don't want to fucking play with right now. Like literally,
no, you're the leader of the free world.
We have to get you to safety because we just need to get you being safe.
Chili cheese fries or no?
Yes.
You're the leader of the free world.
Exactly.
And we need you in our pocket. You're getting in that bunker, dude. We will knock you out,
yep,
whatever it takes. You're getting in that bunker.
But he's really good at the claw game. So the arcaders need him.
So arcaders, I can't get over it.
He gets his own arcader outfit.
He does. Where are you getting the time to make a big fat Kevin James arcader outfit?
Also, and if I'm the seamstress or whatever, the team that's making all the arcader outfits, and the president's like, make one, you know, 48 large. And you're like, wait, what? Like, no, don't worry about it.
How many XLs?
Listen, it's for me, but I'm just a fan of the arcaders, okay? I want to wear the jacket at the press conference when they win.
Okay. XXXL arcader jumpsuit. Who's this for?
So they get, it's Donkey Kong and all of the trophies, including the sun, the guy from Guam, and the Indian gentleman that gets abducted in the Indian scene are up there. And they're like, oh, we're coming to get you. And all of a sudden, everyone, like Michelle Monaghan is doing some flips in this scene,
yep,
that are just like, whatever. It's like, where did it come from?
I think this might be the most unbelievable scene in the movie.
Oh, really?
And I'll tell you why. Do you guys remember when you played Donkey Kong and you're Mario and you got to climb up all the ladders and everything, yep, and whatever? What do you do, you know, through most of that way up there? Like, what's Donkey Kong throwing at you?
Barrels.
He's throwing the barrels, right? And you had to jump over them?
Yeah.
President $5 foot long is jumping over these barrels, and give me a break, Kevin James is leaping through the air.
Not in a million
years. It's not
years.
Just Michelle Monaghan. Everyone is an athlete.
Sandler
in this scene.
Is. Yeah, it's
they
like
get it's force jumps.
Yeah, they are. And like Sandler's like jumping up different levels and like really. LeBron James would have difficulty playing,
yes,
a real version of Donkey Kong.
All set to We Will Rock You, by the way.
Again, the reprise of, because it was in the beginning.
So
they get, whatever, like Michelle Monaghan does a bunch of flips and everyone's doing jumps. And Sandler, which again, the way that Donkey Kong ends is you get to the top level and then Donkey Kong goes up further and that's the end of the level.
Right.
But Sandler like throws the hammer at Donkey Kong, which isn't a Donkey Kong move, and like kills him.
He shoots him right in the face.
Yeah, that's another cheat code.
Yeah, I think so. It's a hammer cheat code.
And he wins, and everyone's like, yay! And like, before he does it, he doesn't have the confidence. He's like, I was never so good at Donkey Kong. And Kevin James is like, oh no, Fire Blaster always cheated. You're the best in the world. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Oh, okay, good. I am the best. Well, I can do this now.
Yeah. You know,
the kid also, the kid had given him like advice earlier on,
because yeah,
he's like, why do you like these games or whatever? He's like, I like playing as a character that doesn't want to die.
Yeah.
And so he's like, hey, Adam Sandler, you're the character that doesn't want to die. So like, he's not playing Donkey Kong like you play Donkey Kong.
Yes.
He's playing Donkey Kong like you play Call of Duty.
And he's jumping over fireballs. And it's like, dude.
It's such bullshit.
On Nick Arcade, that was difficult. Newbie Nick Arcade guy showed up as the leader of the alien race. Like, this was all.
Oh, shit.
He was planning this attack. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what Nick Arcade was. It was like the trial run.
Now, that wasn't Donnie Jeffcoat.
Boop, boop, doop, doop, Nick Arcade.
Donnie Jeffcoat was Wild and Crazy Kids.
Yes.
What was the name of that dude? Do you remember?
No.
That's all right. It's fine. It's totally fine.
he's in an Abu Ghraib somewhere. This actually scene had one of my only legitimate laughs.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Yeah, Michelle Monaghan. Like, the kid is like, oh, go save Hubert because Hubert's surrounded by fire and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
And she looks down at him. He's like, no, I'm pretty sure he's dead.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's like, no, your dog's dead. Yeah, don't worry
what do
about
I care
it.
About the little fucking gleep glop alien?
But don't worry, she does 10 like backflips and gets down there and saves him, whatever.
And so Donkey Kong's dead, and it's like, all right, so you won. We, as like, I guess this very honorable alien race are gonna leave.
Sure.
And this is where Kevin James, you know, President fucking Ponderosa Buffet himself, negotiates this peace treaty, which you don't see. Like, no. Here's the thing. Donkey Kong is defeated. The lights come on in this spaceship,
and we
and
see
some
what these
alien look. Walks out. Yes. It's like, you beat us. You know, you're very good at this. You are the best, Adam Sandler.
And like, it's a maybe it's a gag. They're really, really tiny. Maybe they look like gross, like fat dudes. Like, whatever the joke is.
Whatever joke you want to try to tell in Pixels, now's your chance.
That. Yeah.
And so, yeah, to your point, President Jalapeno Popper is on the White House lawn, and he is just like, by the way, thanks to the arcaders, we've won.
Oh, Abaduda.
And, oh, my favorite line in this movie is Kevin James literally goes up to Peter Dinklage and is like, Peter Dinklage is like, oh, we won. Does that mean I have to go back to jail? And he's like, no, you don't. But you do have to tell Adam Sandler he's the best in the world. It's like literally this character has to stop what he's doing. Like in all Adam Sandler movies, bow down and be like, you are the best at this.
Oh, hey, Fire Blaster, you got something to say to me? I'm all ears.
Somebody's the president's best pal.
All the president's pals, man.
Just whatever. And in one of the two grossest jokes, he looks, Fire Blaster does this, and he feels a little bad, and he looks up in the Lincoln bedroom.
He gets a text message.
He gets a text message. He looks in the Lincoln bedroom, and it's Serena Williams and Martha Stewart. And we as the audience, and I got kids here, have to imagine what a threesome looks like between Serena Williams, Peter Dinklage, and Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart, who's holding a cake, by the way.
Yeah.
It's getting into some kinky shit. And I mean, like...
you know, I'm all right imagining it.
All right, fine. I just find it...
Repugnant?
No, I just think it's a bit
weird.
It
has no place.
This is a kid's movie. This is a movie for children, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's all Adam Sandler movies are anyway. Are movies for younger
children. Gotta learn sometime.
12-year-old kids like it because it's like, oh, that... It's like how we were with Jim Carrey movies back in the day. It's like, it was a little above us because they were saying shit sometimes.
Or like, how about when... like. It took me like a year or two to realize that Ace Ventura was getting a mighty beach in that fucking scene.
Exactly.
Some things you missed as a kid.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's fun. And like,
well, that's more, that's the thing. It's like Ace Ventura is more adult than this movie.
Yes.
You have to imagine Ace Ventura getting that mighty beach, where here it's just like, they're going to go talk in that room.
Yeah, all three of them.
Well, because that's...
They're going to go eat that cake.
Here's the thing. That this movie, like, pretty much holds off until the end, until this moment. Like, what I realized watching it was, because I didn't know that Chris Columbus directed it. I think that has a big part of it. This is not a, quote, Adam Sandler movie.
No.
This is not That's My Boy kind of shit, right? Like, this is just, it's another movie that Adam Sandler's in. But this three-way joke is a joke from an Adam Sandler movie.
Yes.
And it has no place in Pixels because it is an I Got Kids Here situation. Like, I saw cute Pac-Man in that trailer.
Yeah, it's like, Cubert's so cute, blah, blah, blah. This is so much fun. Everybody loves him.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't
people
need to
just
picture
railed in the Lincoln bedroom.
Exactly. I don't need to picture Martha Stewart shoving cake up Peter Dinklage's ass.
Or
which
whatever.
Is what I did.
Yeah.
It's what I did because that happened.
I would want more of that, actually. I want that and I want more of it. I want less Pixels.
And to your point, like, yeah, the whole movie is pretty wholesome and then the end happens and it gets really gross. It gets even grosser because Lady Lisa like goes up with the rest of the Pixels and like Josh Gad's all sad. He's like, I can't believe it. Oh, my one true love. He starts whining.
He had something, by the way, not to derail this further, but he had something when he's talking to Lady Lisa at the beginning when she first comes in and he's like, I've tried so many ways of making you real, some weird science type stuff. Ew, gross.
Yeah, you're just like fucking a plastic bag at some point and being like, oh, if I do this long enough, it's going to turn into Lady Lisa.
A lot of custom-made blow-up dolls.
Yes. Deflated.
So Q-Bert, oh, for some reason, we get to keep the trophies and they have to give theirs back.
But
I guess,
no one is bringing back the Duck Hunt dog, man. He's the best part of this movie.
Dude, that old lady ate that dog.
They should have at least just show a shot with the like the dog Hank like sleeping in her house or something. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
He's got the dead duck in his mouth and he's snoring.
But what, Steve? What happens to Q-Bert?
Q-Bert is hearing Josh Gad moan on and on about how he'll never find true love because Lady Lisa's gone, and like has an idea. And morphs into Lady Lisa, and they start making out. And Adam Sandler calls it out because he's a cool guy. He's like, nobody else is weirded out that just used to be Q-Bert. And like, that's the gag.
So,
but that,
like,
that's...
so like, Q-Bert's man-child brain is stuck in this sexy lady body. So you're just having sex with something that doesn't even know what's going on.
There's a lot of questions on the table here. That's one of them.
We do a 1 year later gag.
Oh, right.
We do. Like,
this
that
confirms
happened.
A lot of my fears.
A 1 year later gag, and it's Josh Gad coming home to a crib full of little Q-Berts.
Oh, it's gross. It's a litter. It's so a litter of Q-Berts.
Josh Gad's semen went into this
Lady Lisa
and merged with pixels to recreate Q-Berts.
Yeah.
It's creepy stuff, man.
It's incredibly terrifying.
Here's the thing. You brought up an interesting thing that made me think, because I thought of it differently. You're saying you think Q-Bert makes a conscious decision to do this. I thought it was a thing where the aliens were just like, whatever, fuck it.
Oh, no, it made it. Oh, no. Q-Bert, like, feels bad. He's like, oh, no, my good buddy doesn't have a friend. I better turn into his sex bot.
Oh, and then do you think when Josh Gad started making, like, sexual moves on it, he was like, wait, what's my friend doing to me?
Yeah,
no!
Well, I don't know what this is.
/ how am I pregnant now?
Wait, how does biology work?
Also, here's the thing. If you so desperately have to make this your last joke, they have to be little Q-Berts with, like, his little Josh Gad fro that he
or, like,
has.
Little or glasses on.
Anything.
Something.
Not just little, a litter of Q-Berts. Oh, it's gross to even think
No, but it's probably like, oh, you can't get me pregnant, but I can just respawn because I'm an alien and I want to make this relationship work.
Oh, shit. Do you think it's like Fantasia and he just cut off pieces of himself and it turned into little Q-Berts?
Yeah, because he was so ashamed that he couldn't get pregnant from Josh Gad, and Josh Gad was like, so it was so important to him, you know what I mean?
Right, he was going to leave.
Yeah, he was going to leave. I mean, like, you know, that's really important. He's a religious guy, you know, you got to procreate, and that's part of the deal, or else I got to go, right?
Yeah.
And she had to convert to Judaism. It was a really big Q-Bert converted to Judaism. Like, anything to keep this relationship going.
Oh, man, and that's the end of this putrid movie.
I will say it's not the end of the movie. The end of the movie actually pisses me off because...
The credits?
Did I miss something?
The guy, the creator of Pac-Man, the one time I kind of laughed, his arm gets bitten off and he runs away.
Right.
At the end of the movie, somehow his arm grows back.
His arm grows back, yet the Taj Mahal isn't fixed.
Nope.
You know,
all the army guys that died in Guam are probably still dead.
Yeah, but we just grow this dude's arm back? Like, come on.
Have some balls and let that dude just be a guy without an arm for the rest of his life. That's fine.
Well, because I'll tell you the other thing, too. The families leaving that theater aren't worried about that character.
Of course not.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, why do we have to check back in at all?
Yeah, because it's spineless. This movie's
over the credits. We do get some Code Monkeys-esque retelling of the entire movie in 8-bit.
The entire movie.
Yes. Oh man, do I hate this? You know what? You gotta have the arcaders like do a second dumb adventure that no one cares about,
and it's over this like you know little kid rock song where it's like game on, here we go,
yeah,
doing things and making friends.
Is it kid rock?
No, I mean like it's a little like you know like little kid rock songs that make kids
child
like,
rock,
child rock.
But
like,
in the middle of it,
ball with the ball.
In the middle of it, some dude starts rapping.
Oh, does he? Oh yeah, that's right. He's
because it's like because it's like game. On hit select, it's gonna happen in your dick, and then like some
Josh Gad had sex with an alien,
and then some grown man is like, yeah, here it goes, arcaders, and you're like, wait, what? Well, and this dude does this long rap, and then it's like, Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, Josh Gad's fucking Cuber, da-da-da, and we're all friends, it's the president's pals.
It marries the 80s and 2015 perfectly.
Oh, it really does.
It's like a blending of the two eras.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, God, would anyone recommend this movie?
No, I've never seen Adam Sandler more disengaged. I would say go on YouTube, because it's actually kind of fun. The kernel of this movie was a short film called Pixels by some French director. Or maybe French-Canadian, I'm not sure, but his name is French. Just type in Pixels short film, you'll find it. It's 2 minutes, 15 seconds.
That's what you want.
It's no dialogue, and it's just like little, oh, like what would it be like if video games tried to destroy the world? It'd be a little something like this, really shortly.
I would say I'm not going to recommend it. I've never seen myself so disengaged.
Yeah, it's a big old not recommend for me. I think this might be technically the worst video game movie.
Yeah.
Right?
I'd rather watch Mario Brothers.
100% better movie.
I've never seen Doom. I'd rather watch any of those Mortal Kombats.
Yeah.
It's weird, too, because when you spend that much money getting the licenses, you know what I mean? Like, and to waste it like this?
Just totally flush it down the toilet.
I would say watch Wreck-It Ralph way more than this.
Yes.
I still haven't seen it, actually.
Go do that.
I liked it when I saw it.
I did, too. I mean, I've only seen it once, but I think it's a really fun movie. It does all this stuff, but smarter and funnier and, like...
Well, smarter and funnier. The exact the opposite you would have to go to get to an Adam Sandler movie.
And it's for a younger audience, too, and actually doesn't have, like, you know... big fat comedians having sex with Q-Bert, which is nice, which I don't want to think about.
That's Pixels, directed by Chris Columbus. If you want to get a hold of us, check out our website, whmpodcast.com, or find us over at sideshownetwork.tv. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We're at whmpodcast. And of course, right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Let's hear your opinions on some video game films. Or if you saw this and wanted to kill yourself, I want to hear about that experience in the theater. Rate and review the show wherever you can. We would greatly appreciate it. And next week, the final episode of the 2015 Worst of the Year.
What's it going to be?
It's Vin Diesel hunting witches in a movie based off a D&D sesh.
Oh, no. Is that true? What?
That's a true story.
A couple guys played D&D, and they're like, let's make this a movie.
Yeah, they did. Like, they played... they played.
And it's not Dungeons & Dragons.
It's not, but it's like, you know, in Dungeons & Dragons, you can, like, make up your own
tales.
Yeah,
you
and they're like,
yarns.
Oh, this is such a good story. It would make a great Vin Diesel movie. It's The Last Witch Hunter. Welcome back to the show, Michael Caine.
Oh, my God, everybody. So that is going to round up our worst of 2015. And yes, we acknowledge... that there's several movies from 2015 we didn't do. They make their way into things like listener request months and live shows and whatnot. So don't give up hope. Maybe someday we will talk about Jupiter Ascending.
Specifically.
Yeah. We heard your pleas, everybody. We just got to other things first. So until next week, when we are wrapping up the worst of 2015, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
And taking us out for the second to last time, this is Rua with Butterflies. We'll see you next week. After the next band plays, then I might have another cigarette. Will you check on the internet and tell me about your day? I got all my favorite scars, but only you ever recognize I'm hiding. So call me out, it's been so long since we got high, that hiding in plain sight. Yeah, my sister's doing okay. Mom said she took herself to the hospital. She knew that she needed help, and it's better than she was last year when the angels came and told her lies, filled her veins with butterflies. And I pulled them out, and now I'm tired and I want.